Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live. We are back. Welcome to BFF Sports. I am your host, Dre, and I got both my brothers on. I can hear them now. I know we was having technical difficulties last week, but they on here with me tonight, you know, Mad Mike and Big Phil. What's going on, fellas? I can hear y'all now.
What's going on? What's going on?
I'm good, man. What's going on with y'all?
Nothing, man. I can finally hear you after what we had last week dealing with the technical difficulties, had me on that stuttering and scared, so, you know, I had to cut the show off. So, what's going on, man? It's been kind of a slow sports week. I mean, I know we got the NFL Combine going on. We got March Madness in full effect. So, I mean, what's going on, man? Y'all heard anything?
Man, as long as you got LeBron doing LeBron things, we all are going to have something to talk about, man.
What he did now, man? What did he do now?
I mean, he's going with it.
I hear the Cavs came back down to earth, though. They're not the world beaters they say they was. I heard they're coming back down to earth, even with the new players. I think they lost last night to Denver the other night. So I see they're coming back down to earth, huh?
Who they thought they was fooling was cat named Rodney Hood, man. Rodney Hood and George Hill. Like, who the hell you think y'all fooling, man? I mean, LeBron gonna do LeBron things, man. LeBron is LeBron. He's a king. He do what he do. But who the hell is Rodney Hood? George Hill? I mean, come on, man.
I couldn't tell you.
Go ahead. I mean, it's like what I said when this trade happened, that this team would get younger. They would probably be a little bit more athletic. But if you put them against a team well-built, has a guy that who can dominate, you're not going to see this team dominate at all. You're going to see this team playing catch-up. You're going to see them behind a lot. And that's what happened in that Sixers game. That Sixers game told a lot, showed me a lot about what that team of this new Cavs team is. And it's not a team built to stop a big man. And like I said, if they're trying to compare and be like Golden State, they have failed because they still can't do that. The way they're playing, I don't think they come out of the East anymore like I picked before when this trade happened. Just looking at it, I don't think they do. I gotta agree with him. Just because you put George Hill on your team, he's a veteran, and yes, he can shoot the three and he can guard, but he's not that guy that can relieve pressure off you.
He's not Kyrie.
So it's kind of difficult. The ball is being placed back in LeBron's hands more and more. It's dominant. It's not how it was when Kyrie can take over for a while. So I think that kind of hinders them in some aspect because some players on that team do require you to set them up for them to get better.
And that's another thing.
You don't have that one person that can just say, hey, I don't need you to set me up. I can go get my own.
You don't have anyone like that.
So taking away Kyrie is like, whoa. And like I said, when Kevin Love comes back, Kevin Love mm-hmm. has to be the Kevin Love that I saw in Minnesota. If he is that Kevin Love, if he can play like that again, then I do give them a chance to come out of the East. But as of right now, I do not think they come out of the East. I still think Boston comes out of the East.
That's the thing. You still have to factor in Kevin Love. Kevin Love is a low post player. He can shoot the three, but when he's not, you know, shooting well, he goes down low and he has to be set up. You have to run plays for him. And LeBron is a ball-dominant player, so he has to find a way to get Kevin Love, JR, and those guys, you know, Rodney Hood, George Hills, everyone shots. So who's gonna take a step back? Is it George Hill? Is it Rodney Hood? LeBron gonna take more shots? What's gonna happen? You know, they still haven't. Yeah. This team is still not together. They still have to, you know, get chemistry. And it's, you know, right. They pretty much traded the entire team. Now, see, right. You know, you have Boston. Boston, they've been together all season. This is a
correct.
Totally
yeah.
different Cleveland team.
Correct. And speaking of Boston, I do like what they did there. They had the acquisition of Greg Monroe. I do like that acquisition there. That gave them another big man who can score,
mm-hmm.
you know, and down low, who can pass. He's a pretty good passer. Also, I do like that. What I'm interested in seeing right now with Cleveland is the next game, and that's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They play the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what they do against Blake Griffin and Drummond. I want to see if they can keep those guys off the boards. If they can't keep them off the board, they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They're going to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, they don't do very, very well with big men who can score, big men who can dominate and slow down the pace. And that's that kind of
mm-hmm.
team that Cleveland has become, adding these acquisitions. It seems like they're just getting the ball up the floor quickly. I don't see a lot of plays being ran. So it'll be interesting to see tomorrow what they do. As you said, you know, Kevin Love is a different dynamic. He is a guy who can score down low. He can also shoot the three. But you, like you said, he does have to have touches. He does have to have someone to get him the ball. And LeBron being the ball-dominant guy that he is, and rightfully so, he's the leader of that team. He's the leading scorer, everything for that team. So I get what you're saying there. It's going to be interesting to see when Kevin Love comes back, how they gel. Because I don't even think they've gelled just yet. I don't think they've gelled with this team. You traded a nucleus of players that were the bread and butter of that team with LeBron. So I'm interested to see what they do and how they go forward with the playoffs coming close. You know, so I'm going to see what they do in these next few games. I want to give them the next 10 games to see what they do and how they compare. And let's see what they can do.
Right. That's how I look at it. I probably, you know, sipped a little bit of the Kool-Aid because when I saw them how they beat up on Boston after the trade happened, I was like, okay, I see Cleveland's doing their thing. But just the way they've been, you know, losing, like they lost to Philly, and then they lost to Denver. I'm like, oh, well, it's back to
Denver, man.
You know, back
Denver.
To where they were before, what they were. LeBron being the ball-dominant player, just doing everything, dictating everything. And I was like, well, I figured the trade would have made him better, but it seems like they're back at square one. But I do want to say one thing, though. And I know somebody said something about the Philly game, but maybe I'm wrong when I say this. And y'all probably saw what I saw, but let's talk about it. At the end of the game, after the game was over, I saw LeBron dapping up Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, dapping them up, laughing and stuff. And a lot of people said that was kind of like shade or the fact that, you know, Cleveland packed it in, you know what I'm saying? So now, you know, I always go to Twitter because Twitter always has some crazy stories. They were saying the fact that maybe that was LeBron saw how the Sixers played. And they, you know, he's kind of like maybe he'll try to jump on next season. They already started, you know, the whole LeBron to Philly hashtag. So what do you think about that? You think that was just, you know, it was over, you know, it was like you know, people overthinking stuff, or, you know, does it have some merit to it as far as, you know, him going to Philly with that whole exchange he had with those two? Could we see LeBron in the Sixers uniform next year?
I don't think so, man. As much as I don't like LeBron, man, I just think this – he's a master of just a media, man. And you saw this earlier with Golden State. You saw it with, you know, what was the other team? But it was another team that he was besides Philly, that he was L.A., that's what it was.
They had him going to L.A.,
he had him going to Golden State, and I think it's just one of those, you know, those stories that the NBA is trying to, you know, trying to keep everything keep fans and people talking and, you know, but at the same time, man, you can't trust LeBron. I mean, I would never trust that dude. I couldn't trust him, man. He, knowing him, he'll probably end up with Houston or something. So anything is possible with LeBron, man. So, but I don't think, I really don't think this has anything.
So my question to you guys is, where do you see LeBron going if he's, because I already said he's out of Cleveland. Where do you see him going if he does leave? I know I said L.A., but I don't know if him and LeVar can coexist together. I ain't talking about Lonzo. I'm talking about the daddy. I don't know if they can coexist because they're both alpha males. He said he wasn't going to the Clippers. So where do you see him going?
I do not see LeBron James leaving Cleveland if he does not leave for L.A. If he does not go to
Cleveland,
I think he stays in Cleveland. Now, there is 5% chance that you do see him in a Phillies uniform. And you got to look at it from this aspect, like, hey, these guys are younger. I'm getting a little older. I still can perform at a high peak. I can offer them tutelage and show them things that they may be lacking. I can become a mentor there. And then thus in doing all of that, still win a championship. Now, one thing that I do not like about him going to the Sixers is I feel that it will hinder Ben Simmons' progress and taking the next step. I think it will hinder him a little bit. I don't see that trio being effective on the floor as one unit. I don't see Ben Simmons, LeBron James, and Joel Embiid being on the floor together and being very, very productive. I don't see that. Someone's going to have to give up something, and I think it'll be Ben Simmons, which, you know, he's on the verge of being a breakout star. I think he's just a jump shot away from being in an MVP candidacy kind of talk.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it would kind of hurt them a little bit in that aspect. Now,
I definitely agree with that, man.
Don't get me wrong. Ben Simmons is a hell of a player. He'll find his way to score. He will find his way to be involved and to get involved. He can do that. He's that type of player. He's that special. But you've got to give up some things just to get LeBron. You've got to clear some space. You've got to get rid of some players. And one thing that I've always been a little not so iffy about is when you put together a team that got you to somewhere when you were nothing, and then you start to trade off those pieces because you want to go for the bigger and better thing, sometimes those pieces that you trade off are the pieces that you need to keep a nucleus together. And sometimes it does not work out in your favor. As you've seen, you saw what happened to Dallas when they won that championship. They were primed and ready to win another one, in my opinion, but they traded away Tyson Chandler. They got rid of Barea before he came. Was it Barea that left or Barea?
Barea.
And I was just like, oh, wait a minute. You've got rid of two people who technically gave you this championship, especially Barea. Barea played lights out when he played L.A. That small guy played lights out when they played the Lakers. And Tyson Chandler, being the guy that he was, blocking shots, rebounding, playing a hell of a lot of defense, stopping Paul Gasol from getting what he wanted in those playoffs back then. And then I was just like, okay, well, you trade them. And then that team just fell apart. That team fell apart big time. So I look at Dallas and what Dallas did, and I'm like, I'm hoping the Sixers don't do the same thing. Because like I said, you just can't get LeBron for nothing. You got to give up something. So that's one thing that I am a little iffy about if he goes. I think they'll lose a good bit just to gain LeBron. And right now that's a young team. They can build around each other. They could continue to be great. I love what that organization has done. They're patient. They told everybody to wait. One day we will see that I'm building towards the right thing, and they are. As I said, if LeBron does not go to L.A., he may just stay in Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah, I honestly can't see LeBron just totally ruining his stay in Cleveland. I mean, as much as I think he, you know, he's thinking about himself, and LeBron is thinking about himself, if he leave again, I mean, they might just burn the entire city down, including, you know, LeBron's house and his cars and every damn thing with LeBron's name and number on it, okay? So I cannot see him taking that chance. If he takes that chance, he can't come back in Ohio or even Cleveland again.
I mean, granted, we were both, you know, none of us didn't expect him to go to Miami the first time. You know, he did that special that Phil loved so much. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
nobody expected him to leave to go the first time. But like y'all said, that when he took his jersey off after that Celtics game, he took their jersey off. The writing was on the wall. He was like, you know, I want to go somewhere to win, and I want to win championships. And lo and behold, you know, you got the not one, not two, not three seats down in Miami.
That's another thing. Can another organization trust LeBron, though? That's another thing. Can you trust LeBron to behave, for one, to say, you know what, it's not all about me. You know, I need my teammates, you know, their input on things. Because let's be honest, Kyrie didn't leave because he wanted his own team. Kyrie left because he wanted a piece of Cleveland. He wasn't getting any input. Okay, like Raymond said, GM LeBron James, that's who's running that team. It's LeBron James. I forget his name, but he is the one. You know, LeBron James, he's just the guy that's just sitting there in name. LeBron is the GM, but like I said, man, I can't see another team or even a player in free agency that'll trust LeBron right now, especially after what happened to Kyrie. Kyrie, they won a championship. They had it made in the East. I mean, they beat Golden State. And so can anyone in Philly trust him? Can you really trust LeBron to stay? More than 2 or 3 years? Can you really say that?
Well, you know how I feel about it. Go ahead, Phil.
I totally agree with what you said. Can you trust him to stay? If you do not perform to the level that he wants those 2 years or that third year that he's there, does he up and leave and find another team to chase another championship? Because if he leaves Cleveland, this is all about chasing championships to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly about chasing championships. So if he does leave and does go to Philly, where they have a younger nucleus that can ball, that can play, that are starting to gel, that are starting to come together. If he leaves for that team, then it's clearly that he wants to chase the rings. I don't have a problem with him trying to chase the rings, because at the end of the day, he's his own man. And if he feels that's best for his career, you do you. Like I said, going to L.A. is iffy, because everybody says, oh, he's going to L.A. But you got to think about it. What if Paul George does not sign with LA? What if Paul George say, hey, I think I like it in OKC. I'm going to stay 2 to 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
What if you don't sign the big acquisition that you want in LA, i.e. the Lakers? What if you don't get that guy? Do you think LeBron's going to go and go to a team where he has to rebuild and build it from the ground up? Absolutely not. He wants a team that is primed and ready to win. And if, like I said, if Paul George does not go, does he go? Can you see LeBron winning it all with Alonzo, with football and these younger guys, Kuzma and all? Do you see that happening? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, it has to be another superstar has to go to L.A. for him to go. I don't see him going to L.A. without another superstar going. That's just my opinion. He's going to play the waiting game. I really think he plays the waiting game on this one. If no one goes to L.A., then you see him go to Philly. Or he stays where he needs, where I think he should stay. Not needs to, but I think he should stay in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah, Drake.
But you know me. You know me. My, you know, I agree with everything y'all said, like I said, to an extent. But like I said before, and I'll say it again, these organizations don't care about what a player does and what they do or for them on the court or the field or whatever they're doing for this organization. I always said, I've always been a big advocate of, you're in control of your career. That's why when people was giving Kevin Durant that hard time about going to Golden State and getting a cheap way out to win a ring, I'm like, that wasn't the case at all because Kevin Durant made a decision based on him. Like, look at Paul George. I mean, I know Paul George is, you know, doing this thing at OKC, but I'm pretty sure OKC wasn't on his list of teams to be traded to either. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so, you know, when Indiana was tired of Paul George, they were like, all right, we're just going to send you to wherever. Like, he didn't have a say in that. So I kind of understand what y'all are saying as far as what LeBron's doing. Don't trust LeBron, but shoot, don't trust these organizations either at all. Look at Isaiah Thomas. Look at what Isaiah Thomas happened to him. He was the most beloved Celtic at the time. He wakes up, goes to practice. Next thing he knows, via Twitter, he found out via Twitter he was traded to Cleveland. Come on, man. You didn't even call the guy and tell him. You just said, he's sitting there like, I'm sure he was up there looking at random, random sink pics of women sitting on the sink, and he's scrolling down, and he see he got traded to Cleveland. You know, I'm telling you like this. If I'm a ball player, and I'm sitting here, I'm supposed to be your star, and I found out via Twitter that I got traded, I'm going to call and be like, yo, hey, y'all could at least told me. I ain't had to drive all the way to practice. I could stay at home wasting my damn gas money. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like, seriously, same thing. Same thing with Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin just signed, what, $175 million?
That was dirty.
Exactly.
That was dirty.
These dudes went all, like, they had a slideshow. They had all this. They did everything to keep it. And then he gets on Twitter. He finds out he's going to Detroit. Exactly. So when y'all say don't trust LeBron, no, don't trust these organizations at all. Like the dude at Houston said, we don't need the inmates running the asylum. Like, come on, man. That tells you right there. If these organizations don't care about what you do, they don't care about them. All the thing they care about is making sure that the fans come see them play and they pay them their little money and then they go about their business. So, no, it's not saying don't trust LeBron. Don't trust these organizations because they will use you and abuse you like a stripper at a booty club.
And
what I'm saying more so is the players, can the players trust LeBron? Because I'm with you on that. It's more so that can the players who are going to play with LeBron, because these guys, they have absolutely no say-so in anything. So can they, Can they say, LeBron, man, you know, I ain't got shit, okay? I ain't got a damn thing. I'm depending on you, man. I'm coming to Cleveland for you. I'm coming to Philly for you. I'm moving my whole entire family for you, LeBron. So can I trust you to stay here for two, three years? You know?
I get that. But see, same, like you said, Carmelo Anthony, same way with Carmelo Anthony. You see how Phil Jackson just dogged him out on ESPN, just dogged him out, basically alienated him from the Knicks. Put the wedge between him and KP. I mean, come on, it's the same. And then let's go back even further. When Michael Jordan almost became a Knick because the Bulls were BSing on, you know, getting good players. Michael Jordan could have been a Knick playing with Patrick Ewing. Like, let's be real now. Like, these organizations don't care at all.
Yeah, but see,
I understand. Yes, you know, if you're a player that you're playing with LeBron, you got to look out for yourself. You got to be like, hey, man, I'm riding with you. Just make sure you ride with me. I get that. But at the same time, if I'm a player, I'm be like, I know the dude probably won't be around long, so I'm going to do me, you know, contribute to what I need to do, but I want to make sure that I'm looking out for myself as well. I'm not going to depend on another dude to get me where I need to be. You know what I'm saying? That's what Kyrie did. Kyrie, like I said, Kyrie was Ice Cube and NWA. He saw the writing on the wall. And he was like, let me get out before, you know, it hits the fan. And you see how it is now when he left. Cleveland had their little run. Now they back in reality. Fuck it.
And I get where you're coming from, and I agree. I agree with what you're saying. But this is what I've always said. This is a business.
Yes, it's a absolutely, business. Yeah.
And you must treat this more of a business than anything. You can have friends. You can have loyalty. You can have all that if you wish. But you still treat it like a business. You know, at any given time, my number could be called and I could be out the door. Now, granted,
right?
Respect also has to go with this. There's no way in hell that two great players like Blake Griffin and Isaiah Thomas find out they're traded via Twitter.
Via Twitter, bro.
There's no way in hell. There's no way in hell you do something like that. That is the ultimate disrespect. That is the ultimate disrespect to these players.
These are supposed to be star players, superstar players.
Correct. These are players. Keep in mind, these are players that you paid money to, especially the Blake Griffin thing. That puzzled me that you just shipped him out of
there. $175 million. They had a slideshow from them, a slideshow. Like, they rolled out the red carpet like he was coming to an Oscar party or something, bro.
So when you do things like that, then you go back to what you said, Dre, is that, well, can I trust my organization? Can I trust the people in these suits that sit behind a desk, twiddle their thumbs, and just write a paycheck? Can I actually trust them? Do they have my best interest? Do they have my best interest? Do they care about my career, or I'm just another employee that's just working for their money? Is that what it is? I look at it from the standpoint of what Mike said when it comes to LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to move. I don't want to sit here. You tell me, let's get together. Let's do this. Let's become a team. Let's do all of this. And I move. And I bring my family all the way to you. And the first time that it happened, I get traded. I moved everything here for you. I get traded. Or you leave. Can you trust
that's
that?
That's why.
Can you
that's
trust
why I said,
the decision
that's why,
that he's going to make?
That's why I say if I'm a ball player playing with LeBron, granted, I'm going to ride with you. But at the same time, I'm looking
mm-hmm.
like if I said, if I got to jump ship, I'm looking. That's what Kyrie did. Kyrie was balling out. Kyrie was balling out, but at the
balling.
Same time, he was like Q, and straight out of Compton. The dude tried to give him a check to just roll with it, and he was like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. That's what Kyrie did. He did exactly what Ice Cube did, and now, you know what I'm saying, he's in Boston doing his thing. Like I said, even as a player, you can't trust no organization or no other player to get you where you need to be at all.
Right.
Like Phil said, it's a business. You got to do business decisions for yourself, not LeBron,
but
not the organization,
time,
not Michael Jordan. Like,
at the
like,
same
you
time,
do
man.
It for yourself.
At the same time, Dre, I hear what you're saying, but that's the thing with players of today and players of yesteryear. You had guys like Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. They gave each other their word, okay? They gave each other their word.
I understand that, but you know, like I said, Michael Jordan almost went to New York because the Bulls was BSing, man. He almost became a winner.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But at the same time, that was definitely a real possibility, and it was a negotiation tactic for him. Had Michael Jordan never did that, they would have never gave him $30 million a year. And we were not looking at players like LeBron James getting $50 million, $100 million
in 3 years.
Right,
exactly. So, I mean,
so
it's not like – it is a double-edged sword. But what I'm saying is this. If I'm a player on the Bulls and Michael Jordan says something like that, I pretty much would probably feel the same way like y'all feel how a teammate of LeBron's was, the same way. If you got the greatest player in the NBA saying that he's going to go to a rival team – and you're on his team, it's got to be in the back of your mind, man.
But at the same time, no one knew
either,
that. That didn't get out.
Even Scotty.
That didn't get out until years later. That didn't get out until
years
later.
Scotty
didn't know about it.
This is true. You're right. But now, and think about it. You saying other people. What about Scottie Pippen? Like, do you think Scottie Pippen would have felt some kind of way if Jordan would have actually tried to stay? Because I'm pretty sure they had comments about this all the time. So how would you think? How you think Scottie?
I don't know. I can't say that about Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was at a point where he wanted to, you know, prove that he was a great himself. So I can't say so much for Scottie. You might be right for them, but I can't say that Scottie would have been totally, you know, just. You know, because he had already won 3 championships with Jordan. I mean, so it wasn't like he was, you know. So he was. I would think Scottie Pippen would probably take that as a, you know, as a challenge for himself. Had there not been, you know, 3 championships before, yes, that would have been something that, you know what, Scottie Pippen may have been, you know, a little bit agitated with that. So you were right there.
Well, you know what? Maybe, I mean, hopefully, you know, it didn't happen, but. My other side of me said, I wish they Michael Jordan would have went to New York so we could see them great defensive battles like it was back in the day when Michael Jordan came for his purity game, and that was just epic greatness when they went 1-on-1. Maybe that could have happened. So a side of me wanted him to stay with Chicago because, you know, that was my guy. But another side of me was like, you know, that Pippen Jordan matchup would have been pretty good if he was, especially a ride with the Knicks and the Bulls with Jordan as a Knick. The storyline would have been crazy, man. Like, it would have been crazy. You know what I'm saying? But I see you got a call. I see you got a caller though. So let me get them in here. Hello, you on the air?
Good evening, fellas. This is Lou from Jersey.
How you doing, Lou?
Lou, welcome back,
good
man.
Evening,
how you
evening.
Doing, Lou? All welcome right. back, man. How you doing?
Thanks. All right. Well, right now I'm currently viewing the Knicks game, and well, they're trying to hold their own here. I mean, it is against the Kings after all.
What game is that?
Knicks and the Sacramento Queens, Kings.
Oh, wow.
Just being sarcastic.
I don't know. I don't know. The Knicks ain't been the same since KP went down with the injury and Carmelo was gone. The Knicks ain't been the same. I mean, they got
the
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Jeremy
Lin. Well, yeah. Well, but, I mean, they got Tim Hardaway Jr. who they gave all their money to.
Nah.
So, I mean, that's something to think about, I guess.
That's
I mean. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm with my brother Mike. You know, Mike says a couple things on Facebook, but one thing I did agree with when he said the NBA has become very boring. I mean, it pretty much kind of has because you don't have that drama there. You got all these people trying to be super teams. It's not like it was back in the day. I mean, you got you got the Warriors. You got the Warriors that everybody tried to jump on, and then I watch my Hawks, even though they suck like palm water. You know, I want Bagley to come. You know, I want Bagley to come from Duke. I want Bagley to be a Hawk. But What's that?
Where do you think he's going to end up? I hear he's a great player.
Oh, he's a great player. I hope he comes to the Hawks. I mean, the dude is, you know, he's a double-double guy. You know, he's a double guy. He kind of reminds me of Kevin Durant a little bit. You know, he's got a shot. He could rebound. He could post up. I would love to have him. Or I would love to have Trae Young from Oklahoma, you know. They say he got range like Curry, and he can, he can dish the rock, and, you know, he can put up points. So, like Mike said, Atlanta just needs a superstar right now because the way we going right now, them dark days is back. Them dark days is back.
Yeah. Kind of like what Philadelphia went through just 2 years ago.
Speaking of Philadelphia, I meant to get this out to y'all fellas. Is Fultz ever going to be the same player he was in college? You know, pulling up, shooting them jumpers. I mean, they say his jumper's still broke. What y'all think about that?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he was the number one pick. So
I think it's a mind thing. It is a
tough question.
Thing. I think if he He needs to rehab. He needs to get himself back into the gym, get him a great person that he can learn a form from, rebuild his shot, all of that. I think it's really a mind thing. He can overcome this. I just don't think a number one overall pick has something happen like this and he not bounce back from it. He's a resilient kid. I think he will be just fine. I wouldn't play him no more this season.
Right, exactly, because, I mean, he
– let him sit out.
Because I've seen him in college. Exactly. Like you said, just let him rehab his shoulder, right? I mean, he's saying it's a shoulder problem, it's a mental problem.
All I know is when I saw him in Washington, the dude had one of the best, like one of the sickest pull-up J's in the game. Like, the dude was putting up, like, crazy numbers. And then he gets to Philadelphia, and his shot was completely changed. Like, I was like, you know, everybody was talking about who was the better scorer, him or Lonzo Ball. And I'm like, this dude by a long shot. Like, Fulton's way better. Like, I mean,
right.
and then he gets to Philadelphia, and, you know, I'm with Phil on this one. Maybe he should just, like, sit it out, you know, work on his shot this summer, get it down, and just try again next year.
And get his mechanics back with him, you know. Just sit it out.
Yeah.
It's just disappointing, but sit it out. Get your mind back right. Refocus. Get yourself at a state where you're ready to be who you were before you re-injured. And I think that he can be the point guard leading this team in the future. I think he's a bright kid. He has a bright future. But right now, I would just let him sit out right now. Surround him around
exactly.
the right people, and I think he bounces back just fine.
Yeah, hopefully, because like I said, he's a hell of a scorer. And considering the fact that what the team is now with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, you know, if he comes back and be the player he was at Washington as a scorer, you know, Philadelphia could really be one of those sleeper teams that nobody talks about until they surprise. You know what I'm saying? So, right. So, I mean, even with or without LeBron James, they'll still gonna be a solid team. With or without.
Yeah. I don't think he's gonna be traded. I don't think he's gonna move. I think he's gonna stay in Cleveland. You know, I think for the rest of his career.
Really?
I don't see him go anywhere.
I mean, yeah, he probably would. But like I said, we all thought the same thing, and then all of a sudden, Phil's favorite show came on, the LeBron James special came on, and he pulled the wool over everybody's eyes.
Well, look, once is common to do that, you know, that's not unusual at all. But I think to do it twice now, late in his career, I don't see that going.
Right. I'm hoping he's not that stupid, man. I'm hoping, but
no,
he is
not.
LeBron. That'll kill his career, man. I think it'll just kill his career if he does that again. He can't move. He cannot move.
I disagree. I wouldn't say it would kill his career, but it would. You know, we'll put it will take a little bit
maybe,
of the luster off of it. Yeah,
it'll
take the luster off of it, but it wouldn't kill it necessarily. Because I've seen players do worse, and they still go to the Hall of Fame and still have a good. I mean, look at Charles Barkley. He threw somebody through a plate. Glass window at the club, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, if LeBron switches to another team is bad, then, you know, it's not that bad if LeBron just goes to another team. But I understand what you're saying, Mike. It will take a little bit off his career because, you know, but like I said back then, you know, a couple minutes ago, these players got to take care of themselves because the organization won't do it. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it. So.
Let me ask this, right. Luke,
sure.
Luke, man. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm calling everybody's name except for what I need to be saying. But the Braves played New York. They played New York today. And I saw Giancarlo. Man, what do you think? Those guys are just huge. Let me say that, man. I mean, I saw Giancarlo standing in that Yankees uniform, and it really pissed me off just to look at what he got.
You and everybody else, man.
Man, and that short porch in New York, how many home runs do you think those two are going to hit, especially Stanton? How many home runs
combined?
He's going to hit this year?
I'm going to 60. Total? I'm going to say he's going to hit at least 60.
I was going to say between 60 and 65.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Stan's gonna hit about 60 by himself. Not combined.
Himself.
I'm talking about Stan gonna hit 60
by himself.
He gonna hit about sixty.
Because he had two ropes to left to right field, right center field, and we know in New York that porch is short and right center. So this guy, it's gonna be scary for any team to play New York in New York. Maybe
hold
in Boston.
Hold on. We do have a Red Sox fan on the line. He's been pretty quiet, so I want to hear his thoughts. I want to hear his thoughts about this whole thing.
Uh-oh. We're in for it now, guys.
Oh, gosh.
Phil. Phil, take it in, man.
Wait a minute. Time out. I'm taking it in. I think we're forgetting that I'm not a Red Sox fan.
You're not?
I thought you were. No, he's a Tigers fan.
He likes Detroit. He's a Tigers fan.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot. He's a Tigers fan. Never mind. Look, I saw he was a Patriots fan, so I think he liked all teams blocked about. I forgot he was a Tigers fan. I forgot.
No, he is.
Hey, look, my bad, man. Sorry. Carry on, there's no
disrespect to any Boston fan out there. You have a great organization. You put up a lot of championship, great organization for Boston teams, but I'm only true to one Boston team. Only one.
I'm just making sure because I know the Patriots. Well, then again, we got Patriots fans in Atlanta, so I'm like, I don't know how that happened. So I'm still worried about we got Patriots fans in Atlanta. Like Brady, you 30 years old and you're a Patriots fan. Like that means that whatever. I don't really get into all that, but I just kind of give them the side eye stuff like that. But I know Luke. Speaking of the Yankees, what you think of? I know he's not going to play for your team because he played. He's a quarterback for the Seahawks. But what do you think of Russell Wilson so far?
A bust. Thankfully, he's not going to be on the team the rest of the season. And you know what? I don't think it's really a smart move. I think you just stick to football. Forget about you doing being a two sport athlete. You're not going to see another Bo Jackson or a Deion Sanders. I mean, athletes like that, the two sport athletes, that only comes once in a blue moon, if that. He was making a big mistake. He didn't do anything for, while the Yankees were in the spring training.
Absolutely.
Go back to the Seahawks. We're not going to miss
him. Yeah, but I didn't expect him to be on the team. And just the fact, I saw him in a Yankees uniform, and I was like, oh, he's a Yankee. Because I remember he was drafted by the Rangers, and then they traded his rights to New York. So I'm sitting there watching the Braves spring practice, and he walks up. I'm like, hey, that's the dude. I'm like, that's Russell Wilson. I mean, he struck out. I was happy about that, but I was like, that's Russell Wilson over there. So,
that was so irritating just to see these guys who are really busting their ass every day, and you sign a damn Russell Wilson who is not going to be on the team regardless of what happens. He's going back to Seattle. And these guys busting their ass year after year just to get a chance to come to spring training. And you waste up a spot for Russell Wilson? Like, that irritated me.
That was a stupid move. But, he was obligated. I mean, the Yankees did draft him. So, who's really at fault here? Him or the Yankees? I mean, the Yankees, picked him up. And they were like,
on this case.
The Yankees are all about headlines. So when they saw, I'm not saying it's true, but when they saw Tim Tebow with the Mets, they was like, oh, well, we'll bring a Super Bowl winning quarterback on our team, and he can take a couple hacks as well. The Yankees are all about headlines, man. They're all about headlines. They got it the wrong way. All right. Well, after they signed the monster known as Giancarlo Stanton, I was pretty much like, whatever. After that. All right, then, Lou, before we let you go, man, you got anything else you want to talk about? Any more parting thoughts before you leave?
Well, just a reminder that the conference tournaments in NCAA basketball are off and running, and we already have teams that are in.
Absolutely. I saw Michigan win today. They beat the stank out of Purdue. And it's my favorite time of the year. This is the only thing, like I was telling Mike earlier, this is the only thing that will hold me over until football season starts back is March Madness. That's probably like the second greatest thing in sports is March Madness because, like I said, the pageantry, the emotion, the games, it'll always be classic games. It's like my second favorite thing after football. It's the March College Basketball Tournament.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, me too, absolutely. So. Bye then, Lou. I'm glad you called in, man. I mean, like I said, you're one of our most faithful listeners. You always calling in, man. So looking forward to talking to you next week, brother.
All right, if you can, try me on my show, the Enhanced Sports Show, on Saturday nights.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Show it, man. It's on Blog Talk, too, right?
Yes.
Okay, definitely.
All right, man. Absolutely. We'll take
it out.
All
right.
Man. All right, man. Have
definitely
a, take
have
a good night.
Thanks,
good,
man.
But yeah, man. He, like I said, I was telling him, like, he always calling in, always calling.
Always.
In. So like I said, I gotta make sure I get him in. He always call. He always listen. Even though we don't have no callers, he'll be the one caller that calls in. So
right.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah,
so speaking of Seattle, my man Mike just sent me some wonderful news on the inbox. There's a chance that the Falcons might trade for crazy Michael Bennett. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know people saying, you know, and I read, you know, I've been hearing about it. Like I said, I haven't really been keeping my ear to the NFL streets because, you know, I was doing other stuff. You know, I've been watching the combine and everything else. But I did hear that there's a rumor going around that the Falcons might trade for him. And, you know, certain people are like, no, we don't want him on our team. He's classless. He's just, and then I'm looking at him like, okay, who's our other pass rusher besides Beasley? I mean, I know Tack is there.
Right,
I know Tack
right,
is there. Tack's going to do his thing. But you're telling me you don't want a guy who can get to the quarterback on your team and he still has, like, some juice left? Like, come on, Mike. I know
yeah.
how much you give.
Man, look, man.
I know how much you give some Falcons fan grease because I know when Matt Ryan signs his extension, they're going to hate. So give me your take on – should we? I would love to have it. I would love to have the dude here. So what do you think?
As much as this guy is a complete idiot, this dude can play. And I don't underestimate the power that Dan Quinn had over that Seattle Seahawks defense. That Seahawks defense has not been the same since he left. Granted, they are still good, but Dan Quinn, and let it be known, he built that defense. That is his defense. He knows how to, you know, to get players up. I mean, look at Brooks Reed now. Brooks Reed, his career was in the dumps. And look what he did to Brooks Reed. He completely transformed this guy. This guy's a, man, he's one of the best pass rushers this year. Next attack. So you bring in Michael Bennett to go with Grady Jarrett, Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley. Man, that is a sick pass rush. That's sick. So, I mean, granted, this guy has trouble outside of football, and, you know, he's going to do Michael Bennett things. I think you don't have to put up with him for no more than two, 3 years. I think that's a chance that Falcons should, and I think they will make.
I wouldn't have a problem with it. Phil, what you think? I know you're a Patriots fan, you know, so but I know you're a football guy as well. What do you think? Should the Falcons make a move on this or just leave it be and try to get somebody out of the draft?
Yeah, the Falcons are to trade for Michael Bennett. How do I feel about that? At this point, I'm looking at someone who's 32 years of age right now. Still got a lot left to give. He does have his antics. A lot of people do not like him off the field and what he may say. But you damn sure got to respect the guy on the field. The guy's
absolutely.
I don't see why the Falcons, and I do think your defense will need him and should get him.
Right.
I think this is a guy who can easily take you from a bottom-tier defensive team and put you slam in the middle, in the pack with everyone else, who can put you in the thick of things. I'm talking about somebody who you can actually put on that field and you know that he can get to your quarterback at will if he wants to. Someone who can disrupt your offense, well, just by blinking an eye, because you got to look out for him at all times. Now, in the state of what the Falcons are doing, I don't know if you'll be able to bring him along. And here's why. You still got the draft to look at. You still got all the contracts you got to look at. You still got to say, well, hey, if we get this guy, can we get him for the low, as we would say, because mm-hmm. I still got to think about Matt Ryan's contract that comes up. I still got to think about
these
other guys.
Oh, they talk about that too, man.
Oh, you still got to think about it. You got to put these things in play. What if Ben is not one of these guys that say, hey, look at my resume. I'm not taking anything less than what you're trying to offer. I want more.
This is true.
Do you say, hey, give him the money? Do you say, hey, give this guy the money? Or do you look to the future and what you need to build on? Because, like I say, he's 32. He's 32 years of age right now. 32.
Mm-hmm.
I see some studs in that draft that you could get and possibly build them into a player similar to Michael Bennett, if not better. So it's always a tricky thing. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if this happens because, you know, they always find a way. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle does trade him. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle waived him either. I don't know.
That's a good point there.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point there.
So, and then
so you
got to
pick him up for the low.
Yeah, you pick him up for the low. If they waive him, then you can pick him up for the low.
Mm-hmm.
Or, as I said, you could trade for him, and I don't think you guys should trade right now. I think just look at the options that you have. You got to look at the options that you have. And if I'm not mistaken, you got to – what about Freeman? You still got to think about these contracts.
Coleman, one thing – that's the thing that I think, you know, that the Falcons may take a chance on this because they can't keep Coleman. As much as everyone wants him and I want him in Atlanta, he's too damn good, okay? He is too damn good to be playing for $20 million. He's not going to take $20 million. You have franchises right now who want a Coleman on their team. They need a Coleman on their team. So he's not going to stay in Atlanta. As much as we want him, that is the difficult decision that we're looking at.
Yeah,
granted, if something happens to Freeman where he is, you know, he's having issues with concussions, this year, if it continues, maybe they, you know, say, you know, we're going to trade Freeman because he can't stay healthy with his concussions. But one of those guys are gone. You can't keep both. You can find a running back. You can find a running back.
Right.
So I think that's the draft pick that you may be looking at, Phil. You know, I can say you give up a fourth rounder, maybe a fourth, fifth rounder for him. Nothing higher than that.
Right. That's how I look at it. But, you know, I mean, Tevin Coleman's good. Like I said, he was the reason why, you know, that game against the Eagles where, you know, he was doing all the work and they basically just overlooked him on that goal situation. So, I mean, and they're not going to trade Devontae Freeman because they just gave him a boatload of money. So
right.
I kind of agree with Mike. Like, do I want Coleman to be a Falcon? Absolutely, but you got to look at it this way. It's a business. And, like I said, you still got to give Matt Ryan his money. And considering what Jimmy Garoppolo signed for, Matt Ryan about to get paid. So, but we still got a couple more minutes, fellas. A couple things I want to touch on before we break out of here. I want to give a shout-out to Taquiam Griffin, the guy at the Combine. One arm.
Oh my God.
At the Combine. He's beasting at the Combine. That man, he ran a 4.38 as a linebacker? I mean,
that's great.
I mean, that's crazy. And how many reps he did on the, how many reps he did? 22, 23? With a prosthetic limb of 225? And they said he had the best combine out of all linebackers. Even our boy Roquan Smith. You know, Roquan Smith was beasted as well. Like all the dogs beasted today. But I just want to give a shout out to him because, you know, with one arm, he's still balling. And I hope he latches onto a team. You know what I'm saying? I really hope he does. I mean, I even hope the Falcons give him a hard look or something. Because this dude can play. One arm or not, he could play.
Yeah, I can definitely see him being an outside linebacker, defensive end, you know, for the Falcons. You know, this is something the Falcons are known to pick up on players like this. So I would not take it. You know, I would definitely wouldn't put it past the Falcons to take know, Shaquem Griffin. This guy, man, his entire story, man. That is an amazing, amazing story, man. This guy was, I mean, he 20 times, 20 presses with a prosthetic arm. Hey, man, I can barely, right. I can't do a damn thing with one arm.
Right.
He did 20.
Right.
220. What the, one arm?
One arm and a prosthetic one, right. For real, for real. What about you? So you think he could go the Patriot way if y'all look at it? Y'all think y'all can use a player like that on your team?
Let me tell you something. One thing about the Patriots organization, Bill Belichick, mm-hmm. Tom Brady, these guys, they don't care if you're missing a toe. If you can perform, they will sign you. They will put you on the field. If they feel that you can adapt to the way that they do things, if you can come in and be productive, they will sign you. Trust me and believe. I'm going to say it right now. Trust me, I'll say it right now. And not to get away from these guys in the draft and what they're doing a phenomenal job. But if a guy like Bennett, Wade, he'll be a Patriot. He will be a Patriot.
I believe it.
They find what you think is no longer deemed necessary, and they make that thing that you deem necessary a great thing again. They find a way to put something, like some kind of a fire under these players to make them think that it's them versus the world, that you are overlooked, that you – it's some type of fuel that they give these guys. And that guy, I promise you, if the Patriots are anything of the guy, if they can get this guy – if they can get any of these certain of these guys that I've seen in the draft, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But to bench press with a prosthetic arm,
that's crazy. That's
amazing.
Absolutely, I'm pulling for him. I'm pulling.
He's a patriot in my eyes already. So I mean, it's not as if this. I don't care who you look at. You've got to look at what this kid did with one arm. And you got to say, well, if you get that one arm, what the hell can you do on the field?
That's right. They say he was a heart and soul of that UCF defense, so I believe it. Like I said, I haven't really watched a lot of UCF football, but from what people were telling me, the guy can ball, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like I said, it doesn't matter what he has or his deficiencies. If a man can flat out play and do what he needs to do, I would gladly have him on my team.
Like Phil said, he's already a Falcon in my eyes.
Right. Absolutely.
That's phenomenal what he's doing. Hats off to him. Phenomenal.
Right. All right, then, fellas, we get close to the end, man. So one more question before we leave. Just make it quick. We'll probably talk about it next week. But Kawhi Leonard said he's cleared to play, and he's targeting March or April to come back. Should he sit the rest of the season, or should he get ready for the playoffs? Yes or no?
Absolutely not. Get ready for the playoffs. Get ready for the playoffs. And with Kawhi Leonard on that, getting healthy, if he's healthy and he can play to what he played the first beginning of the season, he's going to spoil someone's playoff championship hopes.
Yes, sir.
That team is going to spoil someone's hopes. Just watch. A healthy Kawhi is going to spoil someone's hopes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I say he's the best two-way player in the NBA. And like I said, if he's ready to play, if I'm Pop, I'll just like just wait till the playoffs because they're already in there. So I'll just come back. I know he wants to come back and get the cobweb, shake the rust off. But I'll just wait till the playoffs, man. But all right, then, so man, we made it to the end,
yes,
man.
Sir.
So same time, same channel next week, fellas.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
All right, man. Y'all take care, man.
All right, you do the same.
All right. We'll be right back.
it's all about the game.